Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. And now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
UMW admissions in this morning. Always a great time to have Melissa Yakubowski, the Dean of Admissions and Associate Vice President here, and Sarah Lindbergh, the Director of First Year Admissions. And it is so good to have you guys in. Good morning.
Good morning.
And again, you both say that.
Yeah.
No one at UMW comes close to that. It's great to have you. Great to have you guys here. This is a busy week.
Oh, so busy.
Very busy. I mean, this weekend it is. It's homecoming.
It is.
And it's two UMW grads. This has got to be even a bigger thing for you guys.
It's definitely fun. And
I love it.
And Sarah represents well, and she's got a lot going on. If you've never been to an admissions event, then you haven't also seen her dog Wally, who's the UMW dog, the unofficial mascot.
He is.
But she's out there supporting our teams, and we love the sporting events.
Yeah.
We love to go out and support our teams, and homecoming's a lot of fun. It's a big tailgating kind of thing.
Yep, and sports events on Friday and Saturday, with a lot of the bigger events on Saturday with tailgating. There's women's soccer, field hockey, men's rugby, and men's soccer, and they go throughout the day. Men's soccer is at 2:30, and that's probably one of the bigger games where we see large crowds out there for that.
But on campus things leading up to it.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. So all this week leading up, we have Professor Bingo tonight.
What is Professor Bingo?
So professors will actually be calling the bingo numbers for students. So
yeah,
it should be a lot of fun. We will also have, we do an event that's kind of like a low-key kind of student activity on Wednesdays called Crafternoons. But this week they're going to really focus on doing spirit stuff for homecoming. So students can go and they can create and design a hat or a claw clip or something like that, or posters. They're going to do homecoming posters, and really get people ready for the games on Saturday.
How fun.
Yeah. And then we have live band karaoke on Thursday. And on Friday, they're doing our Big Ash Bonfire.
An ash bonfire?
Big Ash Bonfire.
Okay.
Yeah. I had to really emphasize the H there for
you. I got you.
Yeah,
it took me a second.
Yeah. So that is a big bonfire that we do on Jefferson Square in the evening through, it's like co-sponsored between Residence Life and Housing, as well as Student Activities and Engagement. And it's a really fun event. So,
well, the sounds of this homecoming, I mean, you really are involving the student body.
You know, I try to be.
So
yeah.
Many aspects of this.
Yeah, so I am a former student athlete myself. I was a swimmer at Mary Washington. So I do, as Melissa said, I try to get out to a lot of the sporting events. You'll often find me more often at an outdoor event now that I have Wally. But you'll always find Melissa at a volleyball game.
Yes.
She doesn't miss a home volleyball game. So
if I can help it.
So. Yeah.
But it's.
Did you play volleyball when you were at UMW?
I played in high school, but I didn't play in college. I regret that, actually. I'm not trying.
So there'll be a lot. I'm assuming that you'll see alumnus around town now this weekend. Coming back for homecoming's fun.
Yeah, so we do our young alumni, students celebrating their 5-year reunion. Essentially, we'll celebrate on Saturday with a brunch in the morning through our alumni relations and advancement office. And then they also have a tent over at the tailgate as well.
And there's just so much going on right now. In the world of admissions, then.
Yeah,
it's keeping it all straight.
This is literally the busiest week of the fall.
Yeah.
Of the fall travel season. There just is so much going on, from our team being out on the road at college fairs regionally to Virginia Transfer Week. So we've got some events happening with, particularly with our partner at Germana. They are a huge feeder institution for transfer students coming to complete their degrees at Mary Washington. And it's Virginia College Application Week across the Commonwealth. And so
there are a few things going on in your world.
So it's not just one thing this week. It's 4 or 5 things this week. Yeah, really kind of doing the most.
And we'll talk about those in just a second. The other great thing is this time of year, the Mary Washington campus just really pops.
Super showing off right now. Those maple trees on College Avenue right in front of DuPont.
Has that...
They're
yeah.
a peak. I drove by them yesterday and I was like, ooh, I need to stop.
Because I haven't been by there. I need to go today because mm-hmm. this really is... There is mm-hmm. nothing like those trees in the fall.
Yes.
And on a sunny day...
Mm-hmm. It is beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be really good this afternoon.
And with a little bit of a breeze and some mm-hmm. of those leaves mm-hmm. coming down.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very scenic, very picturesque.
Yes.
Mary Washington is a great place to live and study. So it just is beautiful all around.
Yeah. I definitely, I'm happy coming to work every day, walking mm-hmm. through a campus that's very much like a park, right?
You don't
drive onto our campus, you drive around our campus. And so the, parking and walking over to our building, and it is in every season. I do think fall is my favorite on campus. Mm-hmm. But every season at Mary Washington has a reason to love it, especially with how beautiful.
And if you haven't been on campus, we're happy to tour you around
Absolutely.
Campus.
Absolutely.
We will show you.
Yeah, and this is a great time to take a tour and really see what it's like in the fall and just how beautiful it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we offer campus tours Monday through Friday twice a day at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Most Saturdays at 10 a.m. And then, of course, we have our last open house for the fall semester on Saturday, November 8th, which is another great opportunity to come and visit. Students definitely take advantage. I know a lot of students were off yesterday for Diwali, but coming up, you also have a lot of students off for the Monday and Tuesday of Election Day. So election really day Tuesday, but a lot of students get that Monday off too. So utilizing that time is definitely important, and you can do something productive and see a beautiful campus at the same time.
And if you're a high school senior, this is perfect. This is the perfect time to jump in, and maybe you decide... Let's do this.
For you. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, and with Virginia Application Week, there are a lot of opportunities to apply for free this week. So we're offering fee waivers for students. There are specific high schools, some in our area, that are participating with that, and hopefully taking some of the burden off of financially of affording applications. But it's a great time to kind of explore and decide, what your hot list of schools is, mm-hmm. the ones that you're really going to submit applications to, narrow that down. But it's also great for juniors and sophomores. We just had an open house this past weekend. We had freshmen as well as sophomores and juniors and seniors there. And kind of takes the pressure off of doing all of it in the latter part of your high school years. But getting out early and kind of trying schools on, making sure they feel right size-wise and atmosphere-wise, the vibe on campus is really important to ensure that you're going to be happy studying in those places.
And even if you live around here and your kids are, I don't want to go. Mom, I don't want to go there. But give it a look. You never know.
You never know. And I think for students that are local especially, we're a good low-stakes place to start, right? You're not taking your entire day to come go visit a college campus, right? Which is what a lot of people think of that visit being. If you live locally, you're taking, 2 hours on campus between your half an hour information session and your hour and 15 minute tour. You're probably there for about 2 hours. You can still do other things in the afternoon, but we're a good place to start and kind of start taking a look at, I like this about Mary Washington and I like this, but maybe it is a little too close to home for me. But at the same time, you might find that those pros outweigh the con of being too close to home, right? And actually being closer to home ends up being a benefit because there are some benefits to being pretty close in a lot of ways. You have the option to live on or off campus. We would love to have you live on campus, but if financially it makes more sense for you to live off campus as a local student, you can do that. But I definitely think that it's a great place to kind of get started, especially for those local underclassmen students mm-hmm. that are just trying to
decide whether they want big or small.
Right. Trying to take that self-inventory of what it is that I like and maybe what you think it is that you like and what you actually like could be two different things.
No, and you can walk away with some experiences and things on a resume that you can't get at a bigger place.
Yeah.
Mary Washington really focuses on transformative learning experiences, and that has been the hallmark. Even I'm an alum. It's been 30 plus years since I graduated, but But even 30 years ago, we were emphasizing, you know, practical applications of what students are learning in the classroom. So
yeah.
My internship was really interesting. I worked on a capital murder case with Fairfax County, the public defender's office. And I did sort of a study and assist for a year. And it was great. It led to a great recommendation for law school for me. I decided I did not want to go right away. And I took a one-year temporary position in admissions and didn't look back. But
right.
But those practical experiences really help students build skills for life after Mary Washington. It helps them make connections. It helps them build their resume, just as you said, but really develop as a person who's ready to tackle work after college and ultimately be adaptable to really adjust and be flexible to whatever the world entails in the next 5 to 10 years, which it's changing rapidly.
Need to take a quick break. We'll come back and continue this discussion. If someone wants to sign up for that, the November 8th open house, do they need to do that in advance?
We love it. umw.edu/visit, and they will find links for all of our opportunities right on that page.
Mm-hmm. umw.edu/visit. More coming up with Melissa and Sarah from UMW this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can listen to Town Talk anytime, day or night. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
University of Mary Washington this morning, Melissa Yakubowski and Sarah Lindberg here from admissions talking about a lot of busy week and a lot of things to be thinking about as you have kids or grandchildren that are looking at colleges. So it's a college application week.
Yes.
So keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm. High school students, yep. High school seniors.
And you can apply for free.
Yes, you can with the code VCAW on the common application.
So.
And that's what, a $50?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Because there is a lot of other things you want to spend $50 on, right?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
How long does filling out the common application take?
Well, we encourage you to take your time, right?
Absolutely.
Because the piece that's going to take you the longest is going to be your personal statement. And that really gives students an opportunity to tell us something in the admissions process that they want to make sure we want to know about them that we might not see in their transcripts, right? And the curriculum that they've taken and that kind of thing. The filling pieces of out... Melissa, I know one of yours has been working on them recently. I don't feel it doesn't take too much time if you're doing some concentrated time on it,
correct,
right? You know, and as long as you're not writing your essay as you're filling out the application, which no one ever encourages you to write as you're filling it out.
Right.
Right. It shouldn't take you more than an hour to complete. I would say probably closer to a half hour.
Well, and I think, you know, what sort of stresses students out is that they don't want to make mistakes, and so and they're
right.
not necessarily used to filling out even basic biodemographic kinds of things. This is really
that is a good point.
One of
yeah.
the first times that they've had to do some of that or had to do some of that more recently, and so I think that you know I have a senior in high school right now too who is going through this process, and she frequently asks questions that sometimes feel a little silly to her. But it's really because she doesn't want to make a mistake and
right.
hurt her chances for consideration. So we encourage you to take your time. It really shouldn't take that long. The great thing about Common App is that you are completing one application per se, and then you can submit that to multiple institutions. So what may take a little bit more time in addition to the personal statement, which we do want you to revise and rewrite, don't submit the first draft.
Right.
But it's maybe submitting different pieces of supplemental information that are specific to the university.
Sure.
So, but it does definitely streamline the process. Back when I think about how I lined it up on a typewriter, like to make sure that I was typing on the right line. Do you remember
yes,
that?
I did. Yes,
and
I did.
So,
and having to use whiteout all the
yes.
time with those little strips.
Oh my goodness. And I remember the Mary Washington application specifically was not on white paper. It was actually... like a grayish paper application. Who thought? But
I just love I applied after you and you lined yours up on a typewriter. I just wrote hand wrote mine with a pen.
Well, I did. What? My essay was handwritten, which several years later, maybe a decade or two later, I went back to our records and pulled my essay because I
was going to say, I've seen it.
I wrote something completely different than what I thought I wrote. But so there is a little bit of time. You do want to dedicate, you know, for students going through this process, you're going to get out what you put into it. And so that's, students, there are three, to, you know, and parents, there are three processes, three, you know, distinct processes to the college admission overall process. One is the search, and that means that you have to actively, like, look, find things, find schools that are going to be a good match for you, mm-hmm. in many ways, academically challenging, but not paralyzing, not so hard that you can't be successful, that's a good fit with the vibe and, yes. and where, how you want to live. So that search piece of it is really important to do some work there. The application process is something that you are putting on paper. You are putting yourself out there. You want to make sure that you are putting your best self out there. So you want to dedicate some time to that process too. So that's the second piece of this. And then the third piece is really financial aid and scholarship. And that too will take students a little bit of time and their parents too. This is where parents do really need to be involved, parents, guardians. Because the federal government squarely puts that responsibility on you know the parents of the dependents. So mm-hmm. That too requires a little bit of time and effort to apply for scholarships, to complete the FAFSA, the Free Application for Federal Student Aid, to make sure that you are maximizing your opportunity to be able to pay for college with your own resources as well as some assistance from others. So,
and I guess let someone or let your parents, especially, look over the application or the essay part, just to say either there are grammatical errors or, you know, we could do better, or that's, you know, what. Yeah. But let someone look it over.
Definitely somebody you trust, right? There are parents out there that think that everything their student writes is amazing, right? If you have one of those parents, definitely have a trusted adult go over and read that. That could be your English teacher. That could be your school counselor. It could be, you know, a neighbor that's a trusted adult in your life. But have somebody read over it, right, and look for those different grammatical errors, but also that it's really relaying the message that you want your essay to relay to the admissions committee.
Yeah, somebody who knows you.
Yeah.
To say, why don't you include maybe something different?
Exactly.
So.
But parents, do not complete this process for your child. I know it's hard to step back and not be a nagger.
Right.
I'm with you. Like I have a 17, almost 18-year-old who's going through it, and we have not hit submit on anything just yet, but she's actively working on it. But this is definitely a process for your students. We can tell if you are inserting yourself a little bit too much, if you're over critiquing essays or even writing essays.
Or even doing the whole application.
Yeah, you should not be. But dedicate some time. Dedicate some conversation to this and support your student through the process. Encourage them. Try not to nag.
Well, and I think you gave a really good tip to parents, having been through it once and going through it a second time, Mel, in that you really tell parents to find a time once a week to dedicate to the college application process and conversations with your student.
Yeah.
As to not overwhelm them, right. So that, you know, it doesn't feel to your student like you're nagging them, that every conversation ends up being about college. So find a time that works for your family, and once a week we have coffee, and at this time on Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock, we talk about where we're at with the college process or whatever works for your family.
And keep a pulse check on your kids too. They're so busy these days. Like yeah. I know my own child was playing travel sports. Currently she's got a job, and so, you know, like, just keep tabs on their overall mental health and well-being, because this all happens on top of life, on top of relationships and drama and work and, you know, them trying to balance all those other things. And this is one more thing that is pressure on top of that.
And you both have talked in the past, which I always have thought and have actually told people and quoted you both talking about how this is your senior year when you're coming from high school. Enjoy your senior year.
Yeah, you want to have fun, right? You want to go to homecoming. You want to go to the football games. You want to go to the different events. So make sure that you're kind of timing things out and taking time to do things in little small chunks so that you don't have to all of a sudden miss something really big because your application is due tomorrow.
And filing dates are predictable.
Yes.
They're out there. They're published for all to understand. And so, you know, this is another example where time management's really critical and kind of, again, balancing and doing a little bit along the way so that you're not overwhelmed at the very end. You should not necessarily be waiting until midnight or 11:59 p.m., the day of the deadline to submit.
Yeah.
Anything could happen. Amazon Web Services could go down.
And that could affect you submitting your application.
Yeah.
So, right?
Yeah, like use that as an example.
And there have been years that some of those colleges and universities that receive, you know, 20, 30, 50,000 applications where their systems have crashed because everybody's trying to hit submit at the same time.
That is such a good...
And oftentimes, those schools also, those are hard and fast deadlines, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to accept it at 12:01.
Right. So do your best to be aware of your filing dates and have your application and understand that. Like, for students in high schools, like, your counselors are really great resources. Make sure that you are communicating with them and that you're aware of your filing dates.
Yeah, put some of those on the calendar if you have
Absolutely.
To, because you don't want to all of a sudden go, or especially as a parent, to look and say, do you know that was due last week?
Right.
And what a terrible feeling.
November 1st, November 15th. Some schools actually had October 15th filing dates.
Yep.
That date has passed. But many of us have the 1st, the 15th, December 1st, December 15th. Generally beginning and midpoints of the month through February 1st. But it is school specific, and that should be one of the things that you're tracking with your application process for the schools that are on your hot list.
And this, as you mentioned earlier, this is National Transfer Student Week. So there are dates there, and there are things come fast at you.
They do. They do. Transfer Student Week is really an exciting time too. I think that transfer students in general, and Sarah actually used to work with them before she focused on first year, but they are often not the primary audience.
Yeah.
And we really try to make sure that they know that we really value them, that we are trying to maximize their experience. So one of our events this week for Transfer Week is that we have Germana, UMW/Germana Day, and our UMW team is actually going to be at Germana on Wednesday in the middle of the day, and we are taking everybody with us. So we are taking our admissions staff, we are taking registrar staff, financial aid staff,
advising staff.
And so it's kind of a one-stop shop for prospective transfer students. You can actually perhaps receive your decision there that day. You can look at how credits are going to transfer and what you can perhaps register for pretty quickly. And talk about financial aid and how that transition will work to pay for college, because it's a little bit different going from the community college to a four-year institution. The costs are different, but we've got lots of great resources, particularly for students who qualify for Pell, which is a federal need-based grant. There's some really great options, but that day is one. We'll do it again in the spring for students looking at fall. So this one is really geared for spring. Starts in January at Mary Washington. But we'll do it all again in the fall and for the fall and in the spring semester.
What a great idea, though, to really focus in on that, because if you've gone to Germana, you're generally from around here, and you may not have even considered Mary Washington.
Well, and at the same time, you know, as you go through the community college process as a transfer student, that process and how you go through advising and register for classes and get your financial aid, while yes, you still fill out a FAFSA form, like that streamlined how every college or other university works of when you do these different steps or how you even register for classes or get your advising appointment, it's all going to be different. And so having our team go over very specifically and work with the students at Germana, it's nice that we're able to do that so that students start to get an understanding of, okay, this is how my process is going to transition, and this is how I need to do it now because I'm going to be transitioning schools.
And we do, you know, I think we bring in about 300 new transfer students in the fall. That's generally the larger term and enrollment, but about 100 in the spring. And so it is not an insignificant group. Like, there you will have peers. Nearly 100 of them in the fall are from Germana, so it's really a good cohort. You might know some students, already have some relationships built, but we actually onboard through a transfer process and orientation process even. So we really want to make that population really feel welcome and onboard them as smoothly as possible.
Melissa Yakubowski here this morning. Sarah Lindberg here from University of Mary Washington as we talk about admissions and all the things to keep in mind paying for college. We'll talk about that and a bunch of other stuff when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:32.
From the Fredericksburg FreePress.com studios, this is News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can access all episodes of Town Talk online at newstalk1230.net or on your favorite podcast platform. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
We are talking now University of Mary Washington admissions this morning. Sarah Lindberg is here, the Director of First Year Admissions, and Melissa Yakubowski, the Dean of Admissions and Associate Vice President. When we talk about colleges, and I know when our first went to college, you just worry about the cost. And we learned really early on that the colleges really do want to work with you. That was the because we looked at the prices, and my wife actually cried.
Oh,
she just
no.
looked, and it was like, and whoever we were dealing with just said,
no.
We can work with you.
Yeah.
And that's in talking to you regularly. I see that there are ways to make this work.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm go ahead.
Go. No, you. The FAFSA, you know, I think is step one for a lot of students. You know, don't immediately get caught up in what you see on any school's website actually about their price, like the tuition, the fees, the room, the board, because generally that is not what students are paying. But there are certainly merit scholarships out there that schools, most of what exists is merit. And so, you know, one of the best ways that your student can really earn scholarships is to put their best foot forward academically on a daily basis. So that should be front and center. But certainly there are need-based opportunities, and the FAFSA has come a long way. In the past 3 years, it's gone through a major overhaul and simplification.
Yeah.
And I think they've added new skip logic even this year, so it's pretty quick and efficient.
And it opened early this year.
Well, it opened, yep. October 1st is the date that it was. It used to open, and for 2 years we did not open on that date because
nope.
it was under construction or renovation, mm-hmm. and so it's back to an on time, if not even a soft launch. And the experience that I'm hearing, that our financial aid team is hearing from students and families, is that it is very smooth on the student and parent user side. So it does not take long. So I know that FAFSA, FAFSA, often instills panic and anxiety in parents, like SAT does for the students.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you should not, it is a different FAFSA than what you recall, even from 3 years ago, so or 1 or 2 years ago. So there are definite improvements that will not take you long, and we are poised to help. We've got for our seniors and transfer students, we regularly offer financial aid webinars, so you can engage and learn a little bit more about our process directly from our financial aid professional team. We have lab time, so coming up at our next open house, because it is open and students now have had some time and parents to engage with it. If they have questions and want to like sit down at a computer with one of our professional staff and kind of say, I'm having a problem with this part. What does this mean? Our team will help you through that. So 11 to 2 at our next open house, you can jump in a lab and engage, but we'll continue to have those for students. And truthfully, our team is so helpful that even if you're not looking at Mary Washington, they'll still
help
answer
you.
Questions for you. So it's just what we do. So We are going to put that out regionally to our high school partners in the community and offer some lab time.
What a great thing, though, to know that you're not, whether it's FAFSA or any of these questions, there's somebody can walk you through whatever you're struggling with.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that one of the things with the simplification process, they say now you can actually fill out the FAFSA form on your phone, and that is in fact true.
That's how
students do it, right? That's why that's one of the changes they made, was because we know that students do pretty much everything on their phones, right? So being able to do it in that way has really probably helped students. There are still pieces and parts of it that take a little bit of time, like getting your FSA ID. That takes time. And so you want to make sure that you are not waiting again until a filing date to go ahead and start that process, because there are some steps that take time to auto-generate before you can really kind of dive in and get started. And then for parents, when you may already have that ID because you have older students or older children that have gone through this process previously. And so it is the same ID for you from your oldest to your youngest.
Yep. I do want to just put make a point out there, too. We have, given the current situation in particularly our region, we have a lot of families that rely on federal positions and are feeling anxious about what that looks like, for their students who may be currently enrolled. I think that we saw a little bit of an uptick this year in our commuter student population from our immediate community. And I think that that is partly due to the uncertainty. Like, this is a great four-year opportunity, and for students to live at home, given the uncertainty with federal positions, it was a good bet for many families. If they're already there and maybe at Mary Washington, there are special circumstances, and your institutions may have special circumstances regardless of where you're attending. If you're impacted, don't hesitate to reach out. So we're gonna put that message out for our prospective student families, depending on how long this goes, if furloughs and layoffs and different things are impacting our families. We want to be receptive to that and really work with them to try to help them out.
Yeah. And the best thing that you can do is ask the financial aid professionals at the colleges and universities. Talk to us at Mary Washington. Talk to them if you're currently enrolled somewhere.
Yeah.
Talk to them there, because they may not have advertised their opportunity to help people that are in this situation. So you should go and ask, because they may have it there. You just might not know about it.
The UMW tuition promise.
Yeah, we actually have a great deal of support. One of the things that has really, the state, the Commonwealth has really stepped up, and we actually have some grant money that is very helpful to support our low-income students in particular. So students who may have qualified for the Pell Grant at the federal level. Certainly there are state grants, but there's some additional money that we can sort of support students who are among the most neediest and at risk for enrolling in college financially or completing college financially. And so the tuition promise really is our way of stepping up for those students and kind of letting them know up front that we're going to really try to work with you to make it affordable, so that you have as little out of pocket, if any, as possible. We've talked a little bit about the FAFSA need-based grant aid. We've talked about state aid. We've talked about merit scholarships. This is one more way that we can try to fill that bucket and reduce costs for our low-income students.
So with that promise, that's saying for students that are eligible for the federal Pell Grant, that UMW promises that your tuition will be covered through aid with us.
Right. And if it's not, we will.
We will make it covered.
Yes. Yes.
And you have an affordability webpage, umw.edu/affordability. And that can really help you be able to figure out your particular situation.
Yeah, so we have a cost calculator on our website on that affordability page that will really help you get a better idea of what costs would be you would be directly responsible for through that calculator. And it's always, you know, it's an estimate, right? It's only as good as the information that you put into it, but it can give you an idea of what your merit scholarship might be, as well as if you potentially are eligible for the federal Pell grant or potentially even state grants and things like that, to get a better idea of what your true cost would be.
You both have said on a number of occasions, and as we talk about various things, we want to work with you. And I guess that's really the key thing, that for families, especially first-time families,
there are
ask questions.
Absolutely. And I think November 8th is actually first-generation student
celebration as well. Yeah.
So if you are the first in your family to go on, then November 8th at Open House is a great way to kick off. So if you're just beginning, or if you want to take a look at Mary Washington as well, but we really do try to support. I think, you know, Mary Washington's size really allows us to engage with students, and that we like that. I mean, from start to finish, students find a community here where admissions counselors know your name, where faculty know your name, where student affairs and other staff across campus really are there to support you and know you as an individual. And so we're going to do our best to help you through the process and guide you and have a full four-year experience. I mean, it's not just at the front end with admissions and financial aid, but it is all 4 years.
All 4 years, yeah. And I think that's one of the things that differentiates UMW's community from others, is that we truly, you know, our professors are right there with you. You know, if you go to them with a financial concern, they will ring whoever they can to help get you connected to the answers that you need to do. So it's across the board. It's not only, you know, faculty, it's the staff, it's the other students, it's the administration. We really want to support our students. We also want to challenge them in the classroom and with their extracurricular activities and with leadership opportunities and things, so that they grow into the professionals that everybody wants to hire after graduation, and making sure that they have all of those skills. But it really is a place where, you know, we want to be able to support you.
Yeah. You actively have to work hard to fall through a crack.
Yes.
Oh, that I like
that.
That has
to be your goal.
That is good.
That has to be your goal.
Yeah. Well, and as we talk about, I mean, the fact that you're already accepting applications and for spring.
Sure.
Yeah.
And the earlier you apply, I would think the better. The better chance you have. If you need at least the financial aid
for the financial aid part. So for financial aid, there is we have a filing date. Like, our priority filing date for the FAFSA form for financial aid is going to be March 1st. That is for fall of next year.
Yeah.
If you're applying for spring, hopefully you've already completed your FAFSA form. If you haven't, go ahead and get started, because it's two different years with the forms, right? So if you are applying as a transfer student for the spring, or even as a first-year student for the spring, because we get a small group of first-years in the spring, you should have already completed the 25-26 FAFSA form. If you are applying for the fall, you need to complete the 26-27 FAFSA form. That sometimes can also confuse students. So it's actually a good point that you bring that up, because both are available right now, right? So because we opened the FAFSA form for next year in October, both are open and ready. And sometimes students will reach out and they'll be like, I filled out my FAFSA form, but you're still, you know, reaching out, reminding me to fill it out. And we go and we look, and they've done the current year as opposed to the next year. So make sure that if you are a high school senior, that you are applying in with the 26-27 form. That is also another good tip. Mm-hmm.
And also a good reason why we talked earlier, Sarah, about, you know, getting with your student, you know, pick 4 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon to talk about this, to sort of bring these kinds of things up.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, again, having that set time with your student to talk about application filing dates, but also, you know, have you applied for scholarships? Have you applied for aid? Have you gotten decisions back? You know, there are some students that keep that stuff kind of close to the chest. Others may, you know, jump and celebrate a little bit differently. But parents, you know your students best, right? And so knowing how to find out that information along with them is always a good thing. I also tell parents too, you know, we know that through COVID, you know, high schools really, and all the way through K-12 really set the bar high when it comes to communication from the schools, right? They're updating you regularly.
Yeah.
And Mary Washington, and we have really seen that. And so we have developed some resources for parents as your student transitions into college and in the admissions process, but also when they're a current student with our institution through our Eagle Family Connection newsletter. So it's a newsletter that families can sign up for, and supporters, you know, if the grandparents are super involved and they want the information too, they can sign up too. But it's a way for you to know what's happening, what deadlines are coming up, you know, is advanced course registration happening soon, all of that kind of stuff, so that it also gives you talking points with your student to say, have you done this yet? Or we've already done this, we're ahead of the game, right?
Yeah, good stuff. Quick break, we're going to wrap this up. Sarah and Melissa from UMW Admissions here this morning. We'll conclude when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230. You can weigh in about today's topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230 and by text at 540-371-5756. And now, here's your host, Ted Schubel.
Melissa Yakubowski and Sarah Lindbergh here this morning from the University of Mary Washington Admissions. This is always so good. I wish you could come every month just because it's so good, the information you have. So when my student fills out, what happens to the application that they fill out? Because you always wonder, who looks at it, or, you know, how do they get, you know, put in a pile to, you know, whatever. Do they get in different piles and that kind of thing?
Yeah, we call them buckets.
Buckets,
but they're
not
actually physical buckets because we read on computers now.
Yeah.
But in the past, before, they were actually buckets. They were mail bins. But we actually review students based on where you go to school. So we use what we call a territory management approach to the recruitment and application review process at Mary Washington. So each student, depending on where you go to school, you will have an admissions counselor that works with you and advocates for you to the admissions committee. So if you're a student in Fredericksburg City, Spotsylvania, Stafford, your counselor is our associate director, Jerry. If you're in King George, one of our admissions counselors, Amber, is going to be working with you. And they're responsible for not only the first review of your application, but to have a better understanding of your schools and what they offer, right?
Everybody's the same.
Right, because everybody does things differently, right? And GPAs are calculated differently, and course offerings are different. And so our counselors are really responsible for kind of having a better understanding of what's being offered. And so when we complete that holistic review of your application for admission, we know that at, you know, King George, we're not going to be expecting to see IB classes, right? We're going to see AP and dual enrollment. But at Mountain View in Stafford, we're going to see IB classes, right? So knowing that is really kind of part of our process. And when we look at your applications, we really do take a holistic approach. So we are reviewing everything. We read everything, including that essay. So when you're maybe having a little bit of writer's block or being like, why am I spending so much time on this? Nobody reads this. Yes. Mary Washington reads it. Right? Other colleges read it too, but just you can sit in the back in your head and say, oh, I'm in Spotsy. I know Jerry's going to read my essay, you know, as part of that. So we do look at those things, but there are certain things that are really important to us. So the best way that I can really explain it to you is if you think about a holistic review process as a pizza, right? And follow me with this one. You know, to be considered, you have to submit your application for admission. So that's going to be your crust to your pizza. It's the basis that everything is going to be built on top of. You can have a pizza that is sauce and cheese, and it is the best slice of New York pizza that you have ever had, right? But you can also have a pizza that is sauce and cheese, and it's a little maybe mediocre, if you will, but the toppings really enhance it, right? So in the holistic review process, we are thinking of your application as your base, your crust, okay? Your sauce and your cheese are going to be your curriculum and your grades. And notice how I said grades and not GPA, because GPA differs from place to place depending on where you go. Those are going to be the two most fundamental pieces of the application review process, right? Your extracurricular activities, your essay, your test scores if they are required, an interview if they do it, those are going to be your toppings. And they can really enhance your pizza, right? They can take a pizza that's just okay with its sauce and its cheese and really make it better. but it cannot fundamentally replace not having your curriculum or the grades that are needed to be successful at that school. And what those what that curriculum is and what those grades are also going to be school dependent, college or university dependent, right? Based on what they're looking for in a student. So I definitely encourage students to look at, you know, what we look for, or ask, what do you look for academically from a student that's applying directly out of high school? Like, what are some of those benchmarks? What are the things I need to have? Because it's going to be important for us.
Great stuff. Sarah Lindberg, Melissa Yakubowski from the University of Mary Washington. Again, pay attention to the dates, umw.edu. Go to admissions and ask questions.
Absolutely. We're here to help.
Yes.
Thank you so much. And again, November 8th is the open house, and you can find out a whole lot of information as a student, as a parent, at those open houses.
Yep, and you get there by going to umw.edu/visit.
Thank you both. See you soon.
See you. Thanks. Bye.
Melissa and Sarah from UMW Admissions. Thanks for listening. See you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear the show anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on your favorite podcast platform. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.